pray, and then we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We take a second to acknowledge that you are the God of all creation. There is a God, and you have made yourself known, and you have given us your Son. And we just take some time right now to stop and remember that. To remember that we're not alone, and you're not looking to us to save anything. You're looking to us because you want to save, and you want to love, and you want to lead us into the life that we were actually created for. The life of joy and peace and goodness. And so, Lord, we come to you asking, would you bless us as we gather around your word? Holy Spirit, would you overwhelm all of our flesh, all of our ideas and anxieties? And by the end of this, you've turned us into people who, again, are the kind of people who can sing your praises, care for you, praise your name, care for our brothers and sisters. Make us into those kind of people again by the end of today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, part of the way it goes in your personal life and in life in general is the lights have to go on. You have to kind of see the damage before you can restore it, right? Or you have to have a dinner party or something planned before you can see how dirty your house actually is, right? And so, oh my goodness, we have to clean that up. I didn't notice that room was so dusty. That's what we do in worship too. Like the idea is, as we come before God, he turns the lights on and we realize, oh, I'm full of inconsistencies. I'm full of hypocrisy. I'm full of ideas that I put on other people, but I don't even put on myself. And so from the very beginning, we just say, God, forgive us. That's what we get to do. We are the people who get to say, forgive me, and we get things we don't deserve because of Christ. So the way we access that is to repent and receive forgiveness, put our faith in that. That's how we are made right. That's how we then open up and make room for good things. So let's pray together on page D. The prayer of confession. This is something we do together, and it's pretty harsh if you think about it, but it's pretty true. And then the end of it is where the most important, which is pretty unbelievable, what God will announce to us, forgiveness. So let's pray together, acknowledging. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And then I'll announce to you the absolution. I've started doing this the last couple weeks. This just represents I carry the word of God. When I put this on, I speak for God. And so I wanted to do that before I announce this over you. Receive this. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And it's for his sake, forgives you all your sins. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore announce to you, forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Was that Hattie that made that noise? She received it. Receiving forgiveness is the hardest thing you'll do today and every day. So breathe it in. It's hard to believe, but it's true. We get things we don't deserve because of Christ. So let me read to you Psalm as we prepare our hearts to give thanks. We've asked God to forgive us. He has, and now we give thanks to him and start to praise him. And in Psalm 126, it's written It's written in the face of being in exile in Babylon. The psalmist writes this: "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him.'" This is the hope of being restored after exile, that it'd be like a dream, that we would laugh, that we'd bring in great harvest, you know. Lord, we pray that you would turn our hearts so that we can see it that way today. Fill us, Holy Spirit, so that we can laugh and think about your word and what you've done for us as a dream, as a source of great hope to continue going on. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You may be seated. Yeah. You've never seen an Irish flute just get wore out like that. That was great. So good. I mean, you got to have fun with Christmas songs, you know? You only sing them once a year, so. Let's read the Word of God. We're gathered around to hear from the Old Testament and then the New Testament. Today's reading will be from Isaiah chapter 61. And we're going 1 through 4. And then 8 through 11 to break up that reading. So Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." And verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations." It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. It's a beautiful passage. You should spend some time with it. Find one of those words that applies to you, especially in the first part where words like faint spirit, you know, mourning, things like that. It's a good passage if you're feeling kind of beat up or powerless. Well, it goes into the announcement of Jesus. It's Christmas time, so let's go to the book of John. Chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read 1 through 9. It's page 517 if you're following along. And you might need to follow along on a phone or something, because the language is a little bit, it's a little bit difficult to just hear. If you hear it, hearing it is very good. Just hear it. But to fully kind of try to understand what's being said, you might need to see it John writes, the beginning of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." We'll stop there. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, bless us as we try to understand your heart and mind. So, John, we're looking at the voice of God for Christmas. We looked at Mark last week. You know what? Don't worry about that. We'll get to the recap. I want to start here. Has anyone ever been afraid in the dark? A better question is, have you ever not been afraid in the dark? Has anyone just never been afraid of the dark? You like the dark, Mike? Okay. Yeah. You're ruining. I know. It is weird. Thank you. Calling me out. Oh, man. Right. So why is the dark? Maybe Jack or Grace or is Ryan back there? Ryan would have a good answer. Where is he today?
He's absent.
Okay. What? Have you ever been scared in the dark? Do you remember a time? Right now? Why does it make you nervous in the dark? Perfect. He said, I just don't know what's around the corner. The dark is like that. It creates uncertainty to the point where things that you know are normal become totally different, right? So I think it was last week, it's like 4 a.m, and our sliding glass door makes a noise, like, shh. It's like, shh, there's some kind of noise like that. And I woke up, I heard it open. And so what did I do? I told Val to go out and get me a drink of water. Hey, I'm thirsty. No, I was like, I just woke up and my eyes just opened and I heard it. And then I was listening for what's next, right? What's next? And I was waiting. And then I'm thinking through, like, what would I do? Okay, the kids are upstairs. So if I lock the door here, Val and I are safe. But then I have a couple kids that aren't. But then what am I going to do? Am I going to find my phone? Am I going to get my nunchucks? Like, what am I going to do? make the announcement that I took karate. You start thinking through all these things. And then, so I was there, and then I was like, okay, so for me, this isn't even part of the sermon or anything, but, you know, it's like, all right, dear Lord, I don't know what that noise was. So when it's dark, you then start to figure out, I'm really hoping it's not the sliding glass door. What could it be? And as I'm going, what else could it be? My stomach went, my stomach started making noise. My stomach was rumbling. And I realized I heard my stomach in the dark and thought it was the sliding glass door. I mean, that could have set off a whole series of events that would have ruined my life. Because when you're half asleep, it's dark. All of a sudden, your stomach rumbling is totally uncertain. You don't even know. I don't know. I had that. Also, I spent half a night trying to figure out a sound. And it was my lampshade that was loose, and I had the fan on, and the lampshade was like, every once in a while, like every 2 minutes, it just goes, like, someone's in here. Anyway, that's the dark. So the dark is completely a place of uncertainty, things that you think you want to know, things that you thought you could know, you don't know what to do. So you're either paralyzed or you act crazy, but most of us are groping in the darkness, nervously going, where's that thing? And so John breaks into the unknowing, the uncertainty. And I think this year it's perfect that Christ is the light, because the darkness that we've been in 2020 is all it's done is create a lot of uncertainty. Like things that a year ago we were fairly certain, whether it's your job, I'm certain, oh, I have a good job and I could get another job was certain. You know, seeing family was certain. seeing family at Christmas was certain. We don't even think about it. All of a sudden, all these things now are uncertain. We're groping in the darkness. We're thinking about, you're starting to try to figure out life, imagining what will I do? And those aren't even real conversations. Those are just conversations in the dark because you have no information. And it could end up being your stomach. Or you could have a real problem. And I'd almost rather stay in the dark and not know, in some cases. But Christ comes. Here comes John. And John says, Christ is the light of the world. He's going to break into your uncertainty and give you some things. He's going to give you light. He's going to give you life. And it's good news. And I think it's interesting that John is different than Mark. Mark starts off with the prophet. So last week, we're looking at the beginning of each of the Gospels. Because the idea of the voice is, for some reason, very popular today on TV, like The Voice or Masked Dancers or something. I don't know. Masked Singer. Like, it's just hear the voice. And so, anyway, the Bible's been saying this for years. I don't know. It's popular now. But we hear the voice of God. We don't see him. Isn't it funny how it's like, I don't want to see the singer, but we'll judge him by their voice. How exciting. But when you say you don't see God, but you can hear his voice through his word, they're like, come on, I don't want that. But you want it with singing? I don't understand. Okay, the voice of God breaks through in the wilderness last week through the prophet. This week, John says he has a different approach. He's writing to the rest of the world, and he says the voice of God is breaking through creation. So in the beginning, he says, the voice of God has come and is with us now. The voice of God. Now, to us, the voice just means like God's speaking, right? But to John and the original audience, it's pretty cool. He's talking to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world has very strong ideas, just like our world today, has strong ideas about creation. We have ideas about how all things kind of came about. We have ideas about how things work, even though those ideas all require some faith. So John breaks in and he uses a word. He says, in the beginning was the word. And that word is logos. I just want to tell you, I think this is cool because it just shows how cool Christ is. And that's what all we're doing here, is how powerful and good he is. And the way John describes him is very biblical. But John basically says, in the beginning was the Word, was Christ. Christ is the Word. The Word was with God. Christ was with God. The Word was God. Christ is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. This is about Jesus. How can Jesus be a man and then also be God at creation? And this is what's cool. This is what I want to tell you. Because that's the question. And the answer is, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the voice of God. So when God speaks and he says, let there be light, his voice creates things. But his voice is the birth of his son. It's Jesus Christ is the voice. He carries the command of God and then creates. So Jesus is the agent of creation. It's the agent of God. The way they would understand it is Jesus is the wisdom. So like when you have wisdom, you know about something, it sheds light on how should we act. So knowledge is when you know something. Wisdom is when you're able to apply it. And Jesus is the wisdom of God. So the application of God's creative power through Jesus. So that's how Jesus is at creation. When God speaks, Jesus is acting because Jesus always carries the words of the Father. He brings creation. It's how he heals people. It's how he's the agent of creation. And now here's why it's a big deal to the world, because at the time, the word is logos. And in philosophy at that time, the logos is kind of the catch-all in philosophy. What I mean is it's the divine reason. It's the reason things work that you don't understand, but you know it's there. So Plato and Philo, all these great philosophers, philosophers, today we'd say scientists, are all working on created order. That's all these things are, is you're saying, look at these, let's look around, let's observe, let's test, and let's see how the created order works so that we can make decisions, so that we can come up with vaccines, so that we can grow food. Like, we've looked at how things are created and how they work, and we continue to learn, right? But why are those there? Why does the sun not burn out? How did it all start? There's questions we don't know. So all science, all philosophy always had like the logos. Or Paul talks to people and it's the unknown God. There's an unknown part, like we know why, we know how we dream and all the synapses work, but we don't know why it shows pictures in our brain. It's that idea. We don't know the why or where it began. So science and philosophy has always had this logos. And John, just like Paul goes into a town. He says, I noticed your altar to the unknown God. Well, I know him. John says there's this idea of this divine wisdom that is created all things and that we're learning wisdom under it. And I know his name. That Jesus Christ is the divine reason, the divine logic, the creator of all things. So all that we study and all that we learn and all that we can figure out are under him because he created it. But he's the wisdom. And that wisdom created life. And that wisdom is light. So life and light are yours, breaking into the uncertainty. Because at the end of the day, I would say today, John, if he were to write this, he would have said, in the beginning was the science. The science. The science was with God. The science was God. Jesus is the science, because we use science, right, to answer all of our questions and to keep us safe and to keep us from sinning. We have made science like this thing that's going to save us, but there is a God over science. He created the order. Thank God. Because science and philosophy and history and all the things they aren't eternal. They run out. At one point, science said you could cut yourself, get rid of all the bad blood, and you'd be okay. That was science. Which is okay. I'm not mad at it. I love it. I love that we learn and grow. But I want the young people to know, and all of us to know this. That God is the divine logic and reason, and he set everything up, and his son, Jesus Christ, has made him known to us. We aren't afraid of science. We aren't against science. We're the people who explore the world and get to figure out God's created order. But there's something in the created order that is not revealed, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come to save you, to forgive you. That's revealed by God's word. That's revealed through his Holy Spirit, through his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't find that in nature. That's a gift from God, and that began by God, the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. So he's the voice. He's the divine mover of all things, and everything's under him. And so John's saying, whatever you're hoping for, it's cool to have philosophy. It's cool to have science. It's cool to do that, and of course, we use it. Praise God. But at the end of the day, the light that's going to shine on us and show us the way to life is Christ. And he's come. John came to bear witness to the light. It's good news. He says that in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The true light, which enlightens everyone, has come into the world. We had a philosophical movement called the Enlightenment, which strangely took away God. It said, oh, we can explain things without God. But the true enlightenment is when Christ comes into your heart and your mind and you become part of his body and his church, your eyes are opened. And the uncertainty that you have is switched. So we don't really know, but we trust. We trust people. We trust studies. We trust we just trust a lot. There's a lot of things we don't know. And we kind of hope and trust, or we just worry about the future. Christ breaks in and says, here's what you can know for sure. is that I am the life. I came, I lived, I walked through death. Once you're enlightened, the light turns on. You believe in this Christ who is this, he's the eternal word of God. He opens up your eyes and gives you faith. So what was uncertain can become certain. And we certainly know that he is the life because he couldn't be killed. And his church can't be killed. He calls the church his body. They can't kill the church. I mean, individually, what can we do? We're nothing. We're silly. Even together, we're kind of silly. But the world can't die. There's always going to be people worshiping Jesus like you. Because the life of Jesus Christ is eternal. He overcame death. He is the light. Have you ever heard that verse? Your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. It's a good one. Jesus Christ becomes, he's the life. We put our faith in him. But he's a light to us. So he's showing us what we can do where we go right now today. He becomes that light. I love lights at Christmas, right? Think about light for a second. We talked about darkness. But think about all the ways light is used. So John purposely uses light. What's like the biggest source of light that makes everything grow? The sun. Well, someone said my legs. That was right, too. Come on. I'm really white. Doesn't have as many nutrients as the sun. Right, the sun is a source of light and things grow in the light. Light pushes out the darkness. As soon as you do light a little candle, the darkness is dispelled. Christ is victorious over all darkness, over all uncertainty. We turn towards the light. Follow the light. Like turn towards it. I was reminded yesterday, again, it's a little bit of a marital issue I have, but I'll be doing something in the garage, go out the back, come back in the garage, and my wife has turned off the lights. And so I walked through my garage. I had to laugh yesterday because I was, like, doing stuff outside. And I was like, yeah, what am I going to talk about tomorrow? Something about light and darkness. And then I go into my garage. I'm overwhelmed with anger towards my wife. Why did she turn off the light? And then I spent the next, you know, it only took an extra 30 seconds or so because I have the garage mostly memorized. But walking through my garage towards this tiny little light on my garage door opener at the very front, and I can't see anything, and I was like, ah, and I'm walking like this. Because I know there's a motorcycle handle like sticking out, so I'm like, and then I get to the steps, and then I finally touch the light, I'm like, okay, lights come on, right? That's normal. I just wanted to tell you guys that. That happened. No one was there to witness it. But Christ is, even if it's a little light, it's drawing you through. And so in all the uncertainty and all that's going on, John says that the light has come and he's the light of men. And they tried to snuff him out, but if you read the rest of this chapter, he overcame and he overcomes for you. And he's forgiven you. That's turning to the light, saying, Lord, forgive me. And this not only will give us comfort and warm us up now, know that you're forgiven, know that the light has broken in. This is certainly true. Christ is still around. The church is still around. Nothing can get rid of him. Not only that, it gives us a source of hope to endure. There's probably darkness ahead, right? I mean, everybody, you look in the future, you can't see clearly at all. It's always dark. There's probably bad stuff ahead. And good stuff. We don't know. And you don't have to know. You're not, and God doesn't say, I'm going to give you the ability to tell the future and all that. He's like, what you need to know is that the promise of deliverance is plainly in view for you. Your eyes have been opened. The lights are on right here, right now. And you can see Christ has overcome death, and he's coming back. He's come into the world to enlighten us. He's coming back into the world. Here's what you need to know. And what you can see right now is that he's good. He's forgiven you. Even though we die, we will live again. love each other by his help. We'll walk in the light today. But we get to be the people who know I can walk in the light today. He has the future. And it's, I have to mention it again just because Troy remembered it. But my old story about the motorcycle trip in Vegas. That's probably all I have to say, but if you can know that Christ is the light, he is the life, he is the wisdom of God, he is the answer to all that, and turn to him, even in the dark times, it becomes like my motorcycle ride in Vegas. Long story short, we were out in the desert, beautiful day, 70-degree weather. We come home late at night, not really aware of the geography, didn't realize the desert was really high. The elevation was high, so it was freezing. I was following Anthony, and he's driving kind of erratically, I might add, too. Like, I was like, just set. Okay. Anyway. And so I wanted to go behind him because I was freezing. And on the way out, I was like, so fun on the desert going, oh, look, a donkey crossed the road, a jackrabbit. Oh, this is so amazing. Thanks, God. Then on the way home, it's pitch dark. It's freezing. And I'm like, dear Lord, don't let there be a donkey showing up. I don't know. Because my headlights are only this big. I'm like, was that a jackrabbit? You see eyes. You're like, like for hours. I'm freezing, warming up my hands by the muffler. Like, and then Anthony's going 75, and then he's going 72, then he's going 85. Choose a speed, man. We had to stop. I had to like go ahead and go, stop, I'm freezing. And I think even Walker was like, wow, it's really tough when like your dream becomes like a nightmare. She said something like that. She didn't say that, but it felt like she did. Can't fight with feelings. But then here's the story. It's like, I honestly am like, I'm just going to sleep in the desert and I'll just die. You guys go ahead. And then off in the distance, literally it was the City of Lights. The City of Lights just appears out of nowhere, come over. And I've never been so happy in my life. I was like, and it shone just like a beautiful city of God. I thought Jesus came back. And I was like, it was Sin City, but it was so beautiful. God has set up casinos? But I saw it, and I was so excited, and instantly I have this energy, and I have this ability to endure. And I had no idea it was like another hour away, because it looks so close, but distances, you know, never a strong suit. Because it was still like an hour drive, because it's just flat. But for the next hour, I was like, when are we almost there? It got me, it kept me going. And for those of us, all of us, we are in uncertain times, but Christ breaks through. He is the light. Whether you're in it or it's far away, we can endure and we will endure. He came the first time and he's coming again. So be warmed, find your endurance, keep going and keep turning to him because he loves you. And he forgives you. And that's true. He died. So whatever bad you've done, whatever bad you're planning on, keep going to him for forgiveness and receive it. And keep focusing on the light, the things we know for sure. These are the certain promises that sustain us as we grope. Really, we're groping forward, right? All right. Father, thank you for your word. Sustain us. Fill us, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you know all the thoughts and all the places our minds go right now. I pray that would you go there with us? Would you, you're the God who speaks comfort. You open up new ideas or you give hope. Would you give that to your people right now? I know you love these people. I love these people, Lord. And I pray that you'd heal or set free or connect, give hope, but shine some light. Shine some light on them right now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to do the Nicene Creed. And partly because, mostly because, it breaks down this question about who is Christ. And it even says, God of God, light of light. And I want you to know that idea comes from John 1, that he is the voice of God. He is the light of God. He illuminates. He speaks the Father's words. He never dies. He is the wisdom of Christ, the voice of God. And so it's a little longer, but it's saying what we believe about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's say it together. Christian, what is it that you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So I want to take some time to ask the Lord for stuff. That's what we do. We give thanks. We praise him. We say, you're God. And then we go, hey, Daddy, I need help. And that's a verse. That's a Bible verse. Abba, Father. That we get this spirit of adoption where we go, please help me. I know I've asked a million times, but you're my dad, you're my father, you love me. And so we just take time to do that together. If there's anything you'd like prayer for all together, I know many of you write things down. We love praying for them, and you don't have to share it here. But I just want to reinforce that we ask God for things, and we do it together, and because we're his kids. And so if there's anything anybody would like to ask for prayer right now, we'll do that, or else I'll just pray for stuff, which is good too. Cool. Grace. Yeah. That's just as serious. Midterms for Grace, it's just as serious as all the silly stuff that happens to people at work. So close. That's good. She's so close, she's praying that she can just keep the A's. So we'll definitely pray for that. Libby.
Rehearsals for the musical at school just started, and I pray that everyone can stay safe because we have a lot of procedures that we're doing for it. And I just pray that we can still perform.
Yeah. So praying for the performance and rehearsals for Libby. And always be praying for these kids because, not every kid, God has blessed our church with, I'm very thankful for all the kids here because it's really hard what you've done to have to go to online. And we know a lot of people outside of the church where their kids just stopped working altogether and haven't recovered and they're losing a year of education. Anyway, it's very difficult. So good job to you kids working so hard and pushing through, and we pray for safety and for the educational process to return to the most effective way, which is, so praise God.
So I get my A's for free.
And I just love, what I love, Larry gets his A's for free. I just love how it's perfect. It's an example for all of us older people. The kids are fearless in sharing their prayers, and the adults, we're all like, I don't know if I want to say that. Which is great. So learn from the kids. Jesus said that. And just give it up and start asking. Okay. Oh, well now, oh, we loosened things up. All right, Troy. Troy. Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Not only did it come through, like it was like, oh, we'll just do this together. The person who was in charge of it said, I want to be lifetime partners.
Oh. Wow. Will you marry me? I want to be a lifetime partner. That's amazing. They, yeah, in business. So that's a praise. Lauren. Okay. So Alex and her gastric surgery. Okay.
And I think a lot of us have a lot of family time coming up over the next couple of weeks. I think we might all be here.
Family time. Family. It's a blessing and the curse. Family time, Lowry. What's difficult? And adults, tell me if this is an accurate assessment. Never, we'll do it later. I just, it's accurate.
What? I serve.
You have a great family. That's why. I'm your dad.
He's the greatest father.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got Jesus.
Yeah. Well, his father, yeah.
I pray for just like the hospital that I work at, because we're so understaffed. It's just hard on everybody that's working right now.
Yeah.
Especially on the COVID side.
Overwhelming. Okay. So the hospital. Perfect. All right, well, good job, you guys. Nice prayers. Let's ask God for them, and then we'll move into the Lord's Supper. Lord, thank you for hearing our request. I'm just so thankful that the God of the universe, the God over all creation, is all-powerful, but also all-loving, and you care. We're your creatures, and you care about all of the details in our lives because you invite us to be whole people. You care about our grades and what they represent, the hard work and the learning and the growing. So we pray with grace. She cares about that. It's like a little garden of knowledge. You care about all those details. And so we care with her and we say, Lord, would you bless her at school? Lord, would you bless Libby? You care about plays. You care about telling stories and having fun and using creativity and kids working together. Like, you care about the play that's going on, and you've given Libby the joy of that. That's important to you, Lord, because you're the God of life and of play. And so we ask that you would bless the preparations and the rehearsals and all the things that Libby's working so hard to make it safe for the kids to try out and to be in it. Bless that whole production, Lord. And thank you that you love it and that you care about it, and we care about it too. And Lord, we thank you for the answer to prayer, that you care about Kathy and Robbie's business and that you've aligned all these things. And we just rejoice with them and pray that it would be a great source of serving the community through their business, serving people, but also blessing and providing for them as a family. But we praise you that you are the God who provides. And Lord, we praise you that you're the God who cares for us and allows us to speak and do something in the uncertainty. And in the uncertainty of all surgeries, we get to say, God of certainty, would you bless Alex? Make the surgery a perfect success and be a blessing to her. And then, Lord, we pray with Rebecca. We thank you for the family. What great gifts families are. But how quickly family life can become a weird place of semi-honesty. And so, Lord, would you bless our family time this Christmas, that give us the ability to have the love that is patient and kind, compassionate, that we would be able to bring love to these situations and fully enjoy everybody in their the way you've created them, Lord. But would you go ahead and bless us and keep us safe and healthy? And Lord, we pray for Ray at the hospital. Bless her. Keep her safe and healthy. And heal, Lord. We pray for your healing over our country, over the world. And we pray that you would bless the hospital, give it enough for taking care of everybody. But But we ask you for these things because you tell us to. We ask in Jesus' name. And you promise to hear. And we trust that your answer will not only be good enough, it'll be perfect for us. So we give you our requests, and we say, Lord, in our mercy, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Good job. You just worshiped God. So we move into really the most solid thing we do every Sunday. The thing that Jesus said, hey, do this every Sunday. He says, I want you to know that I came physically. I am all spirit and I am all flesh. I am all God and I am all man for you. The whole world, the flesh, the devil, all day and all night's going to say, man, you're a sinner. You don't deserve it. It's going to be bad and it's your fault. Or even worse, it's all going to be good because you're awesome. Then you're just waiting to fall. That's the pressure outside, and Jesus breaks in. He says, look, as often as you get together, you gather around my word, I want you to know that beyond what the guy up front with the crazy stuff on is saying, you need to know for sure what God is saying. And he says, here's my voice. Jesus Christ, the night that he's betrayed by his friends, he takes the bread and he breaks it and he says, this is my body given for you. I'm paying for it. Take and eat of it. The same way he takes the cup and he says, look, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. I have forgiven you. I will forgive you. I do forgive you. Drink that in. Let that become part of your DNA. You are forgiven, which means there's hope, which means get up and keep trying, keep living. You have that blood in you, eternal blood of Jesus Christ. And so he says, do it as often as you get together. Never forget. Always celebrate it because this is the truest thing. He says, this is the New Testament in my blood. This is the truest thing you'll hear or do all week because it's the body of Christ. He says, this is my body. And so that's why we do it. We do it with faith, knowing that his word, it's just wine on the outside, grape juice in the middle. It's just a wafer. But God's word says, I put more significance on it. I nourish you and feed you. You're just a sinner, but I make you a saint. How? How? I don't understand. Yeah, it's faith. Believe it. Or live in your sadness. This is way better than living in your sadness. So, we set it apart and we pray. Lord, your word on these things is what gives it power and gives us life. And we repent. We've already said, forgive us. You've already said you do, and this is just extra. So apply it to our hearts and our minds now, the body and blood of Christ broken and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's coming again. You proclaim that he came and that he's coming again. Lord, thank you. Hear our response now as we sing Christmas songs to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number C or song C13. All right. You may be seated. Yeah, we just lit the Advent candle again. It's like the third week. So it's the pink one. I believe it's the peace. Joy is the pink. Right? You guys were correcting me. Then all of a sudden you stopped. Good. The pink one. So it's just the Advent simply means the coming of Christ. And so when we look at his first coming, it also stirs up the fact that he's coming again. Like this is what he does. He keeps his word. We're not alone. Receive God's blessing. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Have a great week.